Good morning, and welcome to Immerse Rhode Island Presbyterian Church on this Sunday that we know on the church calendar as Reformation Sunday. And on this Sunday, we remember that on October 31st of 1517, Martin Luther published a list of 95 theses, they were called, 95 ways that the church at the time needed to reform, needed to change in order to get back in line with Scripture and with God's will. And one of the main themes of the Reformation was to place the Bible back into the hands of the people and into the language of the people. And so one of the wonderful ways that we celebrate this day is this is the day we award our or give our third graders their Bibles. And so we handed out, I'm not sure how many, about 30 Bibles to kids in the breakfast service today, and you'll hear a little bit more about that from Eliana later on in the service. And another way we celebrate our particular Presbyterian Reformation heritage with its roots in the land of Scotland, now I bet you just might guess one of the ways we celebrated that today. Well, the Reformers in Scotland were John Knox, and through him, John Calvin. And so we decided to celebrate our Scottish heritage with a bagpiper, as we have been doing the past few years. So we're just really pleased to welcome Ian Lothar to our service this morning. We've already enjoyed hearing him pipe us in to worship, and I bet our neighborhood heard it too, and I'm glad. I think that's really great. And I just know that Nicola Davidson, our student ministry intern from Scotland, is just over the moon this morning, so. Well, a warm welcome to any of you who may be visiting with us for the first time this morning. We have a little welcome gift we'd like to give to you as you leave church through these doors. You'll find our welcome wagon, and on it you'll see some coffee mugs with a little brochure about our church, just a little more information about our church. We invite you to take one of those and hope that when you take it home and use it, you'll remember the warm welcome you received here and you'll want to return to worship with us again. Please do remember that during the 9:15 hour, we have Christian education for all ages, so we would love to have you start your Sundays an hour earlier than this service and choose an adult class or bring your kids to the Sunday school classes. That's a wonderful way to get to know a smaller group of people and also to hear some wonderful teaching and to really nurture your faith. A few announcements. This Wednesday, our Super 60s group is meeting at its regular time, 10:30. Now, they don't limit it to just people over 60. Anybody can come to this, and you might want to. The topic is financial securities in an unsure time. And so Brian Olson, a member of our church, former CPA and a financial advisor, will be leading a talk on that. So it should be a really great forum for our Super 60s class. I want to remind you that our women's retreat is coming up really soon. We're going to have a registration table after the service. It takes place November 7th and 8th. And our speaker is the Reverend Pam Drizel. She'll be speaking at the retreat, and then on Sunday, she'll be preaching at our service, and she's meant to be a wonderful speaker-preacher. So hope that you women out there will be signing up for that. And then soon after that, our men's breakfast is happening on November 17th with Coach Bill Marsh from Eastside Catholic High School, and he's meant to be a wonderful, inspirational speaker. So you men out there, you need to sign up for that. You can get more details in the bulletin. And our 10,000 Villages sale is coming up very soon. I know you're all familiar with that one, and if you would like to help out in any way, there is information about how you can do that, who you can contact in our bulletin, and we encourage you to do that to make this a wonderful success. There's so many more opportunities listed. Please do read your bulletin announcements and become involved in the life and ministry of our church as you feel led. It's a joy to be with you this morning, and I am certain that the Holy Spirit is in this place and that God longs to touch your heart in some way in this service. So open your heart, and God will be faithful to touch your heart and your life. And now, as Emily comes to light our Christ candle, let us all be reminded of the presence of the light and love of Jesus Christ here with us in this time of worship. Thank you. Friends, God is our rock and our fortress. Therefore, we will not fear, because God's love surrounds us and supports us. God's grace in Christ has given us a foundation that can never be destroyed. Come, let us worship God.
Thank you.
Oh God, we come to worship today, seeking wisdom for the way. Plant the seed of your word in our hearts, where it may be nourished with the story of your faithful people, and where it may take root in our lives. We offer you our lives and our church this day to reform, to renew, and to refresh. Amen. Please be seated.
Our gospel reading this morning is Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46, which can be found on page 25 in the New Testament section in the Bibles in the pews. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the end of the reading. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of these words.
Friends, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet we believe that our God longs to make things right between us. So now let us prepare to tell the truth, that we may hear the deeper truth of God's love. Let us pray together. Gracious One, we give you thanks for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you forgive us and give us power to begin again. Therefore, we pray that you will come to us and reform those secret places in our lives that we most need to change. Tear down the barriers that keep us from loving others. Call forth your new life within us through the grace of Jesus Christ. And now we lift up to God our silent prayers of confession. Friends, we who are clothed in the grace of Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Since God has made peace with us through Jesus Christ, let us share that peace with one another. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Share that peace.
Friends, we come now into our time of our sharing and prayer time. And I invite you to sign those red friendship registers you'll find on the pews. Sign your name in and then pass it on down the pew. And we appreciate you doing that. It just lets us obviously know that you are here, but that helps us in our ministry of pastoral care here, and we appreciate it. If there are prayer requests that you would prefer not to speak out in this time of sharing, you'll find congregational care cards in the pews, and you can use those cards to write us a note about anything. You can write out a prayer request, and if you check it confidential, then it will not appear on the prayer list that is on our bulletin insert each week, but we will pray for you during our Tuesday morning staff time when we pray for all of the prayer concerns, and it's our privilege and our honor as a staff to do so. So just put those care cards in the offering plate as it goes by later on in the service. It's with sadness that I announce to you the death of one of our dear longtime members, Fred May. Fred died about a week ago, this past Sunday. And as you know, Fred was very active in our church, very active in our community, and he will be greatly missed. The date of a memorial service has not been set yet, so you will just have to wait until we have more information about that. And now, before we start our time of sharing, let's begin in prayer. Let us pray. God of compassion, we do give thanks for the gift of the life of Fred May, for his spiritedness, for his energy, and for all of the ways he blessed his family, this church, and this community. Be with his family and friends as they grieve him in their time of loss. Oh Lord, it is a privilege to share in all of the joys and concerns of our church family. May the power of your Spirit at work in our lives and through our prayers bring healing and hope into your world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll go out to you with your prayer requests. I have a couple of joys I just wanted to mention. We start with joys, and that one is that our the men from who went down to Mexico over this past few days are returning this Sunday afternoon. There were over 20 of them, and they were down there building houses. And I know they were building a lot more than that. They were building relationships, and they were nurturing their own relationship with God, too. So it's a joy that they'll be returning this afternoon. And then I'm going to embarrass Cheryl and just say it always gives me a joy. Cheryl, stand up and show us your alb. You know, this is the Sunday she shines. She is an associate in the Lutheran Church. So on Reformation Sunday, she wears her alb, of course. Thank you, Cheryl. All right, I'm going to open it up for other joys to you. Does anyone else have a joy to share? Please stand and share your name. We record these prayer requests, joys, and concerns.
My name is Phil Glassy. I've got more joys than I can express, but I'll limit it to two. The first is I'm really glad to be back after being gone for 5 months of traveling around the United States, seeing this lovely country, God's creation. And what a great special joy it is to be here this Sunday and to hear this wonderful music, this lovely choir, and the congregation singing one of my favorite hymns. And I just love it here. I've visited a lot of churches this summer, but this is the best. This is just great. And The other joy I want to share with you is that my bride-to-be on November 29 became yet again a grandmother yesterday. Granddaughter Grace Cunningham, and she and the mom are healthy, and we're just really thrilled about that.
You do have a lot of joys in your life, Phil. Well, we're glad you had a wonderful time and that you're back safely, and we just look forward with joy to your upcoming marriage, and also you get to celebrate that little grandbaby too. Other joys to share. Then how about moving to concerns? Any prayer requests or concerns on your heart this morning?
I'm Joy Brown, and I have a coworker named Crystal who is pregnant, and she has a slipped disc in her low back, so she's really miserable right now, and they can't treat her with anything, so it's difficult. So prayers for quick healing for her.
We lift up Crystal and ask for God's healing touch upon her, and just that baby stays healthy through all of this.
Hi, I'm Carl Dodrell, and I would really appreciate prayers this week. After this service, five of us will be going in connection with the Pipe Organ Foundation to Northern California, actually Palo Alto, California, where we're going to be taking down an organ out of a church. The organ is up high, and there's always a certain amount of danger involved. I'd appreciate your prayers in connection with this. This organ will supplement the one at Roosevelt High School. And so that is going to be our next mission project. So thank you for your prayers. They're much appreciated.
Well, we do pray for prayers for safety for you and all those who are going. And we're just delighted you've adopted another organ and finding a new home for that organ. Any other joys to share? Yes.
My name's Carol Fielding. I would like prayers for a young friend of my daughter. Her name is Tiffany. She's 27 years old, and she was just diagnosed with a very large cancerous mass in her stomach. So the family, of course, is very upset, and my daughter as well, because she's a good friend of hers from college. So Tiffany's going through further tests, and her care team is going to be developing a plan of treatment. So just prayers for her and her family.
We do lift Tiffany up into God's healing hands, and also pray for wisdom for that care team as they plan her care.
Thank you. I'm here to speak and, I don't know, offer my prayers for Gene and Lucien Morris. And I'm thinking of Gene right now mostly because she has some underlying problems, but she's been coming in and out of pneumonia. And I don't know more than that, except it's, you know, it's in and out. And I'm hoping that, you know, she's doing better today.
Thank you for bringing those requests. And Gene and Lucien haven't been worshiping with us for many months. And so we don't want to, when people are out of sight, they can sometimes be out of mind. And we appreciate you letting us know about this specific concern. And we lift up Gene and pray for God's healing upon her lungs and prevention of that pneumonia. I'd like to then ask Rita Lou to come and lead us in our community prayer.
Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this Reformation Sunday, a day when we remember our ancestors in the faith, when we remember the long history of your faithfulness to your people, whose story we find in Scripture. Their stories encourage us and inspire us and comfort us. We take hope that as you, O God, were with them, you are also with us. In the midst of our troubles, you are our refuge. You are a shelter in the time of storm. You are the rock of our salvation. You are an anchor in the raging sea of life. Your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We give you thanks for Jesus, who shows us your face and demonstrates your love, grace, and justice. We claim to be followers of Jesus, so now, O God, help us to live out our resolve day by day through thick and thin. We remember the words of the psalmist who reminds us of your promise to us. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. So, God of all comfort, we call to you now and lift up to you those who suffer in their bodies and in their spirits, and those who care for them and care about them, those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost meaningful work or a place to live, those who struggle with hard decisions to make, those who live with discrimination, those who hunger and thirst for the necessities of life. We give you thanks for those who are living examples of faith to us, those who teach us and encourage us, those who work for justice and peace in our troubled world. Living God, may we celebrate this Reformation Sunday as a reforming of those truths which are the building blocks of reconciliation and peace. May the ministry of this, our family of faith, and of the universal family be enlivened by the image of Jesus Christ, the life of the church, and the world. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite any children that might be with us, and Miss Eliana has some words for us.
Well, that happens sometimes. How can I not come out to Steve? Over here. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And you are welcome, because I always talk to anyone who feels like a child at heart, so I always assume I'm speaking to all of you anyway, not just the children who are young of age. But today has been a very celebratory day for all of us, because our third graders got their Bibles, and I'm sorry that none of them could be in this worship service, but we did have 25 in the 8:15 service, and then about another 4 or 5 will be at the 5 p.m. service. This is a really special day in the life of the church, not just for the third graders, but for all of us, because it harkens back to one of the greatest accomplishments, I believe, that the Reformation brought about for us, was to make sure that we could get this in our own very hands and read it for ourselves. We finally can take the Bible and open it up and read it whenever we like. Sometimes it's a powerful thing when we are down in the dumps. I believe all of you can attest to that. There's been times when your heart's been broken and you can crack this book open and find solace. There's other times when we have been so joyful, we just can't find the words to say thank you to God. And it's such a joy to be able to open up the Bible and find that someone else had those words. Regardless, the Bible continues to be a living thing and speaks to us every day. You know, it's funny to, one of the parts of the faith event is I sit down with the third graders and their parents, and we have a class on Tuesday evening on getting to know your Bible. And we start looking at verses and reading it out loud. And it's always interesting to me how a third grader will interpret a particular verse, and I tell them, even though they won't believe it, 20 years from now, that verse is going to say something totally different to you. It's going to mean something very different, because life will give you different experiences. When I was a kid, I got a Bible. It had one of those zippers that went around it. I opened it so infrequently that the zipper rusted shut. That Bible did me no good. It's an old King James. It's sitting on my bookshelf. I can't open it unless I break the zipper, and I'm not willing to do that. But I hope our children are wiser. I hope that all of us as adults in our congregation can inspire them and can lead them by example, by showing how we do carry this book around much more than just a book, but as part of our souls, as part of something about who we are, our identity. I encourage all of you, if you have a Bible at home, use it. It's not going to serve any purpose if it's sitting on a bookshelf or down in the closet somewhere in a drawer. And secondly, bring it to church with you. Let the children see you carrying your Bible. Let the children see that this is something valuable. This is something that's precious to us. There was a time when we weren't allowed to have these. There are parts of the world where people still cannot carry these publicly. We can. Let's empower one another to do that. And when you see a child in our church carrying around their Bible, say something to them. It's going to mean the world to them. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you speak to us constantly. You speak to us through laughter, through joy, through our tears, and most especially, you speak to each one of us through your word. Help us to not just open the book, but to open our hearts to the words inside the book. In your son's name we pray, amen. You can go back to your pew, young man.
Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and Pastor Dale preaches your word, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for the salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This Samaritan woman, whose story we have heard a part of this morning, must have been a woman of courage. She must have been a brave woman down deep in her inner being, because she does something in this story that is very difficult to do, something that can be frightening in our inner being. She takes things that she has believed for a long time, things that she was probably taught as a child, things that were passed down through the generations in her community, things maybe she wasn't even taught, she just picked them up in the community that she was living in, things that were foundational to her belief system, to her identity, to her role in the society, even to her understanding of God. She takes these things and she is willing to think about them again. She is willing to reconsider. She is willing, she has the courage to think with Jesus and to allow some things to be different, to allow some of those foundational beliefs to change. And the purpose of those beliefs is they are foundational. They are to create for us a stable world through which we can view things and life and our own identity, and to change them, it feels like you're rocking your world. But the reality is that some of the things we believe, some of the things that have been identity markers for us from childhood, probably do need to be changed. If they have become oppressive, if they are not accurate, if they are prejudicial, if they are not the way God wants us to see the world and ourselves. But it's scary to think about them and to change them. Now, if you remember anything about the Samaritans, you may remember that their belief systems, their value would include things like this, that they are, in fact, the chosen people rather than their neighbors, the Jews, that they are, in fact, the ones who are true to their father, Abraham, while their neighbors, the Jews, have gone astray from that, that they, in fact, are the ones who are understanding the Torah and living the Torah correctly, while their neighbors, the Jews, have gone astray and have become heretical, that they are the ones who have the right place to worship God. This mountain, she calls it Mount Gerizim. They believe that that's where Abraham worshiped, that that place is probably the place on earth closest to heaven, and therefore the place to worship, while the Jews had another place, Jerusalem, the wrong place to worship. This was part of her belief system from the time she was a child, and it wasn't just in her head, it wasn't just in their heads, it was in their attitudes. You remember there was a hostility, an animosity, a loathing between Samaritan and Jew. But when she has the courage to think with Jesus, to engage him in conversation and to go deep, she is the one who brings up these old belief systems. She says to Jesus, "We Samaritans say that we should worship on this mountain. You say Jerusalem. Which is right?" And Jesus says, "Neither one." The time is coming, Jesus says, and already is, when those who worship God will worship not on this mountain or not in Jerusalem. They will worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And in fact, God is seeking such people to worship God. To worship in spirit, it means to go down deep in our spirit where we really live, where we believe the things that we believe, and invite the Spirit of God to be present there and to seek truth there deep in our spirit and to let the Spirit of God change us. Jesus, remember, is the one who says, "I am the truth. So having the courage to think with Jesus is having the courage to let the Spirit of God show us truth, to help old things to pass away that need to pass away, to be born anew as a new creature, as a new being, growing up into new things in Christ. And this woman has the courage to listen to Jesus and to change. Now, John doesn't give us a lot of words about how she changes. He does say that she goes into the village and she gives a witness to her fellow Samaritans about this Jew, Jesus. And it is a positive witness. And they come out and meet him. They also engage with him. They invite him to come home with them. And Jesus stays with them for some time. Now that is new. That did not happen in that day. Jews and Samaritans did not get along together, did not spend time together, did not share things like meals, like food dishes in common. But something is changing here. Something old is passing away. Some prejudice and loathing and hatred and some belief system that allowed people to be separated from one another and despise one another is passing away. Something new is coming. And when Jesus leaves them, they are saying, "We too believe in him." Now, we don't really know what happened to that village. John doesn't tell us anymore. We do know that John, writing his gospel, is describing, explaining, even defending his community of faith. And so it would be easy to suppose, and we would probably be right, that his community was a community where people who were Samaritan followers of Jesus and people who were Jewish followers of Jesus were in the same community together. And that would still be shocking in John's day. That would still cause criticism with many of the people around them. But something powerful was happening to them as they engaged with Jesus, as they experienced Jesus. They changed deep inside, and it made it worth the whole thing. And it was powerful. These kind of deep interchanges can be deeply powerful, and not just for individuals, but for history itself. So I imagine that Martin Luther must have had such a change in his inner belief system. He was an Augustinian monk. He bought into the church as it was. He lived it. He committed to it. But then he had the courage to think with Jesus, to open his deep inner spirit to the presence and the spirit of Jesus, and to read the scriptures and to discover there a different way. That it wasn't about obeying everything the church said to do in order to somehow be right with God. It was about the grace of God, the kindness and goodness of God offered to us by faith in Jesus Christ. By grace we have been saved through faith. It's not our doing. It's the gift of God. That was a main discovery of the Reformation. A renewing of that, a recapturing of that truth of the scriptures. And so 491 years ago, next Friday, Martin Luther published his 95 Theses, his argument with Pope Leo X, his seeking to engage Leo as Jesus had engaged him. And it changed the world. And we are who we are nearly 500 years later because Luther had the courage to think with Jesus and to let the foundational beliefs that he had grown up with be changed, to let the old things unworthy of God pass away and the new things be born. Those foundational belief systems are still powerful in us today. They can still change the history of a nation today. So, for example, a week from Tuesday, many of my fellow Pennsylvanians will be going into a voting booth. And in the privacy of that booth, some of them will be struggling with an old value system, a value system that says people of color are not reliable. They are not trustworthy. They cannot be leaders. Now, I'm not suggesting at all how to vote a week from Tuesday. I am just telling you that in this historic election where for the first time a person of color is a candidate from a leading party, that raises for us deep issues of what we have grown up with, of what we have believed. And it makes a difference to the future of the nation, these belief systems that we have and how we act on them. So then, the issue of our scripture is, what about us? Are we willing to have the courage to think with Jesus? Are we willing to engage the Spirit of God at a deep level with some of the things that we have believed, even without question, believed without consciousness that we're believing it for all of our lives, things that have motivated how we think and how we act? Are we willing in those private moments when we have the time to think our own private thoughts, are we willing to invite the presence of Jesus? Are we willing to remember the words of Jesus, the things that Jesus did? More than that, are we willing to engage our spirit with the Spirit of God to change us? Are there, when you have those private thoughts, are there old neighborhoods that you go back to in your mind, in your thoughts, frequently? And what are the issues that you're dealing there, dealing with there in your private thoughts? Are we willing to invite the presence of Jesus there? Are we willing, if it's appropriate, to let old ways die and new ways be born? The old has passed away in Jesus Christ. The new is coming. We grow up into something new, something more that God wants us to be and to become. So, for example, I'm talking about deep issues here. So, for example, for me, what does it mean to be a man of my age in this society at this time? And maybe there are things about being a man from my old Western Pennsylvania growing up that need to be converted, that need to change, that need to be different than they are, that will set me free in some way. What does it mean to you to be a woman? And what have you believed about your place in the society and your role in the society as a woman? Almost every woman I know who is a pastor, I have heard her say at one point or another, I didn't used to believe that God could call women to ministry. I had to listen to God. I had to change deep inside what I believed. What does it mean to have power in a society where so many people are without power? What do my old belief systems say about the accumulation of power and the use of power, or about success, how I know when I'm a success, how I know that I'm worthy of love or not? What do those old belief systems say? And are we willing to engage with Jesus, to invite the Spirit of God, and let those systems change if they need to change, and think in new ways about those things? As I grow older, and as we see people my age and older, as we see people our own age dying, what do those old belief systems say about dying? And is there fear in the dying? What would Jesus say to us about dying? Would it be different? And what about living? What do the old belief systems in you say about living? Live cautiously or live boldly? Talking about the deep things in us, the things that are about who we are and whether those things really are in line with how God thinks of us, what God calls us to. But it takes courage to think with Jesus, to engage those foundational beliefs, and to let some of them go. It rocks our world. It shakes the foundations. And yet, if God is in it, it will be good. It will be good. Our theme verse for our sermon series on courage, you remember, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Well, the reality is we lean on our own understanding far more than we realize, because these foundational issues unexamined in us drive our thinking, drive our behaving. It takes courage to engage in a thought process with Jesus, to let it go deep, to let it change us, to let old things pass away and let all things become new. Do you remember what the Samaritan woman says at the end of the passage we read this morning? She says, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will teach us all things." When Messiah comes, he will teach us true things. And you remember Jesus' reply? He says, "I am he, the one who is with you right now." Let us join in prayer. We want to see the world, ourselves, the people around us, and you, O Lord, as you would have us see. We want to be free of those old identity markers, those old paradigms of who we are, those old belief systems that whatever in them that is not of you, we want to be set free. We want to be made new by the power of your words changing us deep within. So we give ourselves again to you, O Lord. Give us the courage to think with you, to learn to worship in spirit, spirit to spirit, and in truth. as you are truth. Help us, Lord. Reform us, Lord, into the people you want us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are a people who have been given much. And God blesses the offering that we are all about to give this morning so that others might be touched by Christ's healing love through our own generous offerings. Our ushers will now come forward to collect this morning's offering. Let us all pray. Dear God, receive our offering this morning. Guide those who use it, that it may help to bring fullness of life to those who live in need and long for our care. Amen. Let us all join together now in our closing hymn, number 466, O for a Thousand Tons to Sing.
Go out from this place in courage, think with Jesus, invite the Spirit of God deep into your spirit, and let the Spirit change you as it will. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.